Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 28th.
Yeah, it is.
We're getting ready for the end of the week, the end of the month, actually.
I know, right?
And we're going into May, which is my birthday month, actually. So in about...
When's your birthday?
12 days, yeah. Mm. I usually forget it, you know? I forget all about it.
I've done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Halfway through the day, I'm like, it's my birthday.
Oh, really?
I did that once a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I might be reminded a couple of days before, but that's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, in my family, we never made birthdays like a big deal. I don't know why, but we never have, you know. So
that's fair.
We celebrate it, but some people make it like a birthday week, birthday month.
Yeah. That's me. I'm a birthday week kind of guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was a sense of overimportance, but what do I know? I'm not going to tell you that.
I don't think it's a sense of overimportance for me. It's always been all of my friends and family have had different schedules. So right. We end up, you know, going out for lunch on Monday with this person and dinner
the next day. That makes sense. Yeah.
It's just, it ends up being an elongated.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Well, a couple of days, 3 days, yeah, you know, but a whole week, I don't know, man.
I mean, it depends on whose schedule's got what going on.
Besides, yeah, you do whatever you want to do, you know, you don't have to answer to anyone, you know.
Yeah. I'm not like waking up every day celebrating like it's my birthday, but, you know, if it's 3 days after and I'm going out to dinner with someone because they wanted to treat me for my birthday, I'm not going to be like, okay, I'll go out to dinner, but it's not my birthday dinner.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I'm going into my 60s. I'm going to be 61.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's official.
It's official. I'm in my 60s. Can't change it now.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I don't know, man. I'm getting into serious citizen territory.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck, man? I can't imagine, you know? I mean, I can't see myself like retiring anytime soon. I don't feel like an old man, you know. I don't have grandchildren, so that doesn't make me feel like a grandfather, you know.
My mom calls all of our cats her grandcats.
Oh yeah,
because none of us have kids yet. Yeah. So she's like, I have my grandcats.
Yeah. <That's good. laughs> Oh wow. Is she going to see any from you? I mean, are you planning on kids?
I don't know. It's very undecided.
Really? You still don't know, huh?
As opposed to like a month ago when we talked about
it. Oh, we did talk about it?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I have the memory of a goldfish, so I don't remember much. But
I mean, like dating is so bad in general nowadays.
No, but I mean, if you find someone and you get married, I mean, would you then?
Maybe.
Do you like kids?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you
I
probably
like
won't have
kids.
Any.
You know, not all kids.
You gotta really love
kids
to have them, you know? Otherwise, it becomes a pain in the ass.
They're just like covered in like boogers and they're always picking their
nose and
eating things with their hands in this like very animalistic way. They're just like always like sucking on their fingers.
But that's for a period of time. Then it changes, you know?
No, it's like that for so many years. Just no concept of germs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Makes my stomach hurt.
We have to consider the germs here, yeah.
I don't care about, like, poopy diapers or anything. That's annoying, but fine. For me, it's all the boogers.
Really?
I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
See, the poop was hard for me, but people said, you know, when it's your own kids, it's not as bad. And that was true, you know? I mean, when it's your own kids.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you love them. It's like part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate shit. I hate it to death, you know? I can't deal with it. That's one of the main reasons why I don't have a dog, because I don't want to pick up the shit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's always a funny debate. I love going on TikTok on the cat and dog videos and seeing people, like dog people and cat people, just battle it out in the comments.
It's really? They do?
Thing. Oh, yeah. It's like one of the biggest rivals I've ever seen. And it, Did I just forget what I was going to say?
The cats and dogs and TikTok and stuff, you forgot.
Yeah, what did you say before that prompted me?
About shit and stuff, dog shit.
Oh, yeah. And people talk about how much it sucks to have a cat and you have to scoop the poop. I'm like, yeah, but that's better than picking it up warm in a bag.
Exactly.
And you like feel the temperature and the texture through the bag. No, I'd rather let it cool down for a second and then scoop right. it.
Yeah. I mean, the cat's shit, you don't really touch with your hands.
No, never.
Yeah.
Never. It's very civilized.
Yeah. I don't know. Both my kids have cats. They're cute. And
yeah,
I enjoy, you know, when I see them. But cats are so different from dogs, you know?
So different.
Right?
My roommate has a dog that lives at his boyfriend's house. And he brought him over. And my cats have met other dogs before. And they absolutely love them. Because I think it was like a Shiba they met. And then they met one other kind of dog, but it was a very just like quiet, calm dog, and they absolutely loved it. And
wow.
then he brought over his French bulldog, and they're just like like the whole time, and my cats were like, what is that thing? They hid. They were terrified. They were terrified.
Yeah. It's interesting how dogs can't survive without people, but cats are just like, fucking leave me alone. You
yeah,
know?
Cats are completely independent.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Except they go everywhere, you know? They jump everywhere.
They jump everywhere. They can hop. Like, I've looked for my cats at times for like an hour.
Really?
And they're like
in the house.
We had this cot at my mom's house. It's just like a little fold up bed. It folds straight up. And it was folded up and it had its like tie around it so it didn't fall down. We looked for Tina for probably an hour and 15 minutes until I found her. She had slipped in between the crack of the cot and was just in between two closed mattresses.
Mm.
Just resting there.
Having a blast.
Yeah, she was just taking a nap. She looked at me like, oh, hi, what's going on?
I know. They push things off the counter and stuff, you know, right?
My cats don't do that.
They don't do that?
No, my cats are very well behaved.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you had something on the counter, they wouldn't like even inadvertently push it, you know?
No.
Walk in there and stuff, no?
No. There's been a couple times they've like swayed their tail and like a chapstick or a pen has fallen off the counter.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Because I can't imagine a glass or something, you know?
No, my friend's cat used to do that.
Really?
Yeah, Nugget, when her and I lived together. Mm. And we would just hear Nugget kicking all of our mail off the table all night long because he wanted attention. Just here. And we'd wake up and there'd be mail all over the floor every morning.
What the hell?
You'd be like, Nugget, stop.
I guess they know what they're doing.
They know. And then yeah. he would just look at me with his little, he was like an all dark gray cat. So you would just see these little like laser eyes at night. So cute. Just looking at me like, what? You forgot your mail.
Get people. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
We're going to have a guest today.
Sure.
Calling in. He's an animator, artist. There's a lot of things, and it sounds interesting and fun. So we're going to talk to him about his project.
Right.
Did you watch the Oscars?
I did. I watched, I think, a little more than half.
Yeah. So yeah. You're one of the few, really.
Yeah.
Did you hear how much, like, I think for the first time it went under 10 million viewers, which is like a disgrace to the Oscars, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems like they're out of touch, you know? I don't know what the hell's going on. They're saying there were good movies this year. I haven't seen any of them, but...
That's the thing. You know. Nothing was in theaters. There were no, premiere. Like, there was never a time when you're like, oh, this movie's coming out Friday, and then people would go see it. And,
right.
You know, there's no excitement in that.
Right.
Now it's just, okay, there's another thing on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so...
true.
I think that took away a lot of the hype, and I didn't even know that it was the Oscar day until Sunday.
Mm.
You know, it's not like I saw any ads on TV or anything. I just had some friends in a group chat talking about it.
Mm.
So,
okay. Yeah, I rarely watch it. I mean, I used to. It was fun, but not anymore.
And it was an awkward setting too.
Really?
Yeah. It was very
awkward. Like downtown?
Kind of, yeah.
Said they had to clear up some homeless people in order to take that vibe off.
Yeah.
And they were criticized for that. But what do you mean, like the setting?
Like just inside. Mm. Like the stage was really small and bare. Like it's, it felt municipal, you know?
What does that mean?
Like, I felt like I was like there should have been a podium for like teachers all to get up and talk about what's wrong with the school district.
That's definitely not something I'd want to watch, you know?
No.
Maybe that explains it.
Yeah. It was awkward. And all the tables were all spaced out weird and no one was really talking. Yeah.
Jeez, man. So they were sitting at tables this time?
Mm-hmm. I think they were like very small capacity. Like it was not a big venue at all.
Right.
Yeah. But the stage was, it was rough. It was a rough stage.
Oh, well. I've been looking for some movies to watch, actually, and I can't find anything. What about this Nomadland? Have you heard of that?
It won a lot of awards.
It did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't. I heard it's great, though.
Yeah,
it's on Hulu. I watched The Father. That was pretty good with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
He won Best Actor.
Right.
It was good. It's definitely discombobulating. Olivia Colman's in it too. They kind of make it from his perspective. And everyone really loved it. I was a little bit more criticizing on it because I've been through having a parent go through dementia. So I've seen it and I kind of wanted more from it, to be honest.
So that's what it's about, huh?
Yeah. He's, he has Alzheimer's or dementia or something. He's,
right. Well, that's definitely a kind of role you'd win an Oscar for, you know?
Sure, totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great film. It was only like an hour and a half, but it went by really, really quick. Yeah, it's definitely, it's 100% worth a watch. I just personally wanted more from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try and catch it because I like him. He's good.
Yeah, he's great.
He's been around forever, you know?
He's a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
And Olivia Colman's great, too.
Yeah, I don't know who she is, but okay.
If you saw her, you'd recognize her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that I liked, well, they said the last time he won was Silence of the Lambs, which is like, what, 30 years ago? It was like 30 years ago or something, you know? But he's definitely deserved a lot more than that. He's been nominated, but... for several movies, I know.
That's Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman. No, I've never seen her.
Never seen her?
Never seen
She's
her.
She's an English actor.
No, I'm not that great with celebrities. I don't know why.
It's all right.
Yeah. I used to be, but it's just not that important to me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, it's got to be important, you know? If you don't, I guess it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Are there any movies you want to see now?
I want to see Nomadland.
Right.
I want to see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I want to see Sound of Metal. Sound of Metal won some stuff too, I think. There was one other.
I haven't heard of that one either.
Yeah, I didn't hear of so many of them.
Right, yeah.
I was like, okay.
I know, yeah. They probably came out like on streaming because there weren't that many in the in the theaters.
Yeah.
Okay, our guest is calling now, so we're going to try and we're going to talk more about the Oscars in a little bit because I wanted to bring up the short films that we always talk about. But we're going to get to our guest now, and his name is Phil. Phil, are you with us? Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? It's Sam and Jen here.
Hi.
And Phil, can you pronounce your last name for me?
I could, but
you can't.
I'd have to kill you.
You're not going to.
No, I'm kidding. No, my last name is pronounced Maki.
Maki. Okay, you see, that's why I had a feeling it's not Machi, so I had a feeling it was Maki, actually.
You're pretty good with that, honestly.
Yeah, but I had to ask him nevertheless. You know?
I feel like 9 times out of 10 you get it right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah
I don't know why, but I do. Phil Maki, welcome to...
It's a superpower to have. It's a good superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now you're an animator. You do definitely an artist. Cartoonist as well. First, tell us where you come from.
We're calling you this morning from Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Didn't we have someone from Austin, Texas the other day?
Yeah, we have lots of Texans.
Oh, okay. Maybe because the publicist is in Texas or something, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe he's not. I don't think he is, but what do I know? How is, have you lived there for a long time, Phil?
Yeah, I've coming up on eight years here real soon.
Oh, nice. Where did you live before that?
Before that, I was in the land of denial. No, I was in Ohio.
Oh, okay. Land of denial.
Where in Ohio?
Well, so I grew up in a suburb of Cleveland, and then I went and did my college at Bowling Green.
Okay, cool. Some of my family's from Cleveland, so I've spent a lot of time in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In Cleveland, like, itself, or like some of the suburbs?
Well, my mom's from Cleveland itself, and my roommate's from the suburbs.
Okay, all right. Well, have you ever heard of Solon?
I have not.
Well, that is par for the course for Solon. That's why I never tell anybody I'm from Solon.
Yeah, fair. There you go. Because nobody has a clue, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So now you gave me a link to a place called Linktree, actually. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of Linktree.
Yeah, I never heard of it, but it's pretty cool because it's got links to all the stuff that you do. And I understand. Yeah. So I looked at your YouTube and all that stuff, and you have you're making a – is this a documentary on the Batman animated series?
It is. It is a documentary.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, I remember Batman, the animated series. It was what, in the 90s?
Yeah, 1992.
Yeah, you see, I remember because I used to watch it with my kids. So if I figure when were they young enough to watch it, I remember.
That's your mile marker.
That time. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, it's 30 years later, kind of a retrospective look. Yeah.
Right. So you probably grew up with that as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. That was coming home from middle school. That was, you know, every day, 4 o'clock on Fox Kids. Absolutely.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. It was amazing. And I know we used to like that because the first character I turned my kids on to was Batman, actually, because I liked him too when I grew up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice because he doesn't have superpowers, and yet he's a superhero, you know? He's like a,
he's got skill.
Like every man type of thing, yeah. You know? So
he relies on skill and intellect.
Yeah, What's that?
If every man was a millionaire. Of course.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? And able to wear bat suits and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. And have it look good.
So I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if a lot of us wore bat suits, it would look more like fat suits.
Right. Now I imagine you're also a fan of bat. How did you get into to liking him? I mean, when were you first introduced to the character?
Honestly, it's hard to know when the first one was, but I have a couple distinct memories. I remember being on vacation with the family and turning on the TV, and the 1989 Tim Burton Batman film was on TV. So I definitely remember that.
Right.
And then the animated series was really probably the next closest memory I have, because shortly after that was when I got into comic books.
I see. Yeah, yeah. And that's the natural progression pretty much. Although with me it was comic book first, because they didn't really have animated superheroes when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Which was in ancient times, actually. But but nevertheless, So I guess it impacted you so much that you wanted to create a documentary about it. Tell us about the process there.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So really, it's a movie that is born out of my podcast. I do a podcast called Stay Tuned. And Stay Tuned is this interview talk show series that I've done for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And each episode I focus on one individual and their life in animated film. And so this movie is me interviewing a lot of people and putting all that together to make a film. And basically you're hearing from the individuals who were either creative or they were business executives or things like that. All of those people are coming together and telling their personal stories, and it becomes one big tapestry.
Sounds good. So, I mean, I would imagine on an animated film, there's a lot of people that work on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is 2D animation, so there's definitely a lot of manual work on this. It's not like computers can do the work like in 3D animation.
Yeah.
And
So back in the 90s, they were still hand painting animation cells.
Right.
And they would do a lot of work here in the States, but then they would once they prepped everything, they would send it off to, you know, countries in Asia,
right.
and they would farm out the, you know, I hate to say it, but they would farm out a lot of the grunt work, you know.
So yeah, well, that's usually how it is, you know, because it's a lot cheaper to get it done over there.
Yeah.
But so who are some of the people you got to talk to? Did you talk to producers, directors, artists, all of them?
Yeah, actually, all of them. So I'll give you a couple examples. Most recently, I got to interview the former head of Fox Kids Entertainment. Her name is Margaret Lesh. And so she was on, she's one of those, you know, on the executive side of things. But I've also been fortunate enough to talk with Kevin Altieri, who is one of the cartoons, the directors. He directed the most episodes out of any of the directors. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Kevin Conroy, who played Batman himself. I've gotten to speak with him as well.
Oh, very cool.
So fun.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is cool. Now, I wanted to ask you about, I guess, the process a little bit. How did it work for them? I mean, did they write, like, new episodes, like, not every week, right? I mean, it takes longer than that, but... When they get started, do they already have a few episodes that they know what they want to show?
Yeah. So basically, once the machine gets started, the machine of people working together on a show,
right?
You have to go, go, go. So they had to have a ton of stuff just done and ready to go. And then as things are starting to come back, they are making judgments about, do we like the direction this is going? Do we need to change direction? One of the writers, Marty Eisenberg, who I spoke with, he told me that it was utter chaos at the time that they were doing all of this. And he said, sometimes in animation, you'll get the green light to do a show in January, and they expect you to have 65 episodes written by September.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So that's quite a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure and multiple teams of writers, teams of artists. They have to break it up like that so they can meet their deadline.
That's true, yeah. So there again, a lot of people working on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you do other cartoons and animation. Tell us a little bit about that. You have...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, probably the things people know me most for as my own... art is concerned, right, is a series called Retail Sunshine. And Retail Sunshine is a comic strip series, kind of like you'd see in the Sunday paper, for those people who still know what a Sunday paper is.
Yeah.
So that series is a comedy series about working in retail. And I recently started animating those characters, and I put a little short film together. It came out in December. It's on YouTube. It's called Sparking Sunshine. Mm. And it's about the origins of those characters and how they became animated.
Right. And that, I mean, that's quite an idea, you know. I mean, like, kind of random, you know. I mean, sunshine and retail and all that. How did that come about for you?
Oh, well, I used to work in retail for a long time.
It's fun, isn't it?
And, what's that?
I said it's fun, isn't it? I've done it too.
I think everybody should have to do it. I think it's a rite of passage, you know?
Right.
So basically, the name of the comic strip came from something that one of my managers said to us. And I don't know. I don't think he came up with it, but I don't know who came up with it. But we were in a morning meeting, and he was talking about how it was raining outside and how that was going to be real good retail sunshine for the day. And that term meant that if people are if it's raining and people are outside, they're going to come into the store to get out of the rain.
Mm.
So it was going to raise money in the building. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
wow.
So that name stuck with me. And I just thought, like, oh, my gosh, there is something about that and something about the experiences I was having with different people, customers.
Right. And I know what you're saying about retail, because it really lets you see people in different, you know, situations, you know,
yes.
How people react to certain things and stuff. And I know, I mean, we make fun of it because it's difficult to work in retail.
Oh, for
right?
sure. For
All
sure.
kinds of characters.
So many. And that's not even including the holidays.
Yeah. What's that,
oh,
Phil?
Yeah. I said it brings out the worst in people for some reason.
Yes.
It really does, you know. I don't know why, but. Phil?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying you're right. You're right. You said about the holiday thing. That's true. With like Black Friday and whatnot. Those are very, 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 very telling of people's nature.
Definitely. And I think the reason why people do, well, not the whole reason, but part of the reason people do act differently to retail workers is because the customer is in a point of power, and people act differently when they have a point of power, even if it's such a small situation
that's,
as that.
That's very true. That's very true. And something I had to get kind of okay with, even though if I don't agree with it, was that we would often feel like we were playing in the middle. And like, in other words, the corporate side, they make decisions, and those decisions affect the customer. Well, who's stuck in the middle? It's the retail worker.
Right.
And so we didn't make those decisions, but because we got the company's logo on our shirt, we're the ones who are held responsible for it.
Exactly. Right. And there were countless times I've told customers, I'm like, look, if I could change the rules, I wouldn't be standing here as your cashier right now. I'd be in an office somewhere in a suit or something.
Exactly. But the people in corporate are not accessible to the average person. So all they have is you.
Exactly.
Right.
So you get beat up for the rules that you have absolutely zero control over.
Yeah. And that's why we would lovingly refer to it as being on the front line, because that is very much what it was.
Sure. For sure.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. So how long have you been doing? So you started doing this as drawings and print. When did you start that?
So Retail Sunshine started in 2008, or early 2008.
So it's been around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it just started out as a little comic strip way for me to kind of be creative, but also just to kind of get my angst out.
Yeah.
And then basically from there, I've had 3 books come out since then. I have more books, you know, partially created and not finished yet. And then a couple years ago, I was like, you know, I really do feel like these characters could move. And so I started thinking about, well, I studied animation in college. I didn't pursue it because animation is just it's a monster to get into.
Okay.
But to be fair, putting a book together is also a monster. So that's when I was like, well, I might as well try this other monster.
Right. And like we said, it usually takes a lot of people. And so you managed to do it just yourself, I assume.
Yeah, so
right?
The short I did is only, it's just under a minute. It's a very short. But the idea behind it is, the goal for me was to make a short that could eventually be the opening theme song to an animated series. So I figured, well, if I do this and I don't like it, well, it was short, so no big deal. But
right.
If I do like it, then I'll use it as my opening, and maybe I'll make some episodes.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, so, I mean, it sounds like you have a great career. A lot of people would envy the being able to do that. So you said...
Not a paycheck.
Yeah, I know. So I would imagine it's pretty competitive and tough to get into the industry, right?
Yeah, I'm an indie creator. I don't see regular income, so that's the part that's not enviable. But
right.
As far as like creatively, I feel like I'm absolutely, you know, living my best life in that sense.
Right.
Being to make projects that are important to me and I can pour my heart into because I believe in them.
Right. No, and that's what's important, you know. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you don't have any desire to go to work and do your work, that's the worst thing, you know. And conversely, when you know you have something you love, you look forward to it every day, you put all your energy and your love into it, mm-hmm. and you get different results, you know.
Definitely.
So kudos Absolutely. To you for doing that, you know. So you took – I'm sorry, go ahead, Phil.
I said thank you. I used to work in corporate America, and it was soul-crushing, and I realized one day that I can no longer do that.
Wow. Well, good for you. I mean, that takes a lot of courage to do that, you know, to leave that regular income and get into art and creating things, you know. So, but at least you have something, a body of work that you can showcase and show your talents, you know. So I would presume you said you took animation in school, so you actually went for art? Is that what you took in school?
Yeah, I got a degree in art from Bowling Green State. Mm-hmm. I graduated in December of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That dates me right there. And then, but I mean, I've been an artist my whole life. It was just a matter of how do I want to approach this?
Right.
So right after college, I went into retail, and then shortly after that, I went into tech support, and I just got to a point where I was like, I can't keep doing this whole someday I'll put all of my energy here. I'm like, I got to do it now. And my theory was if I do it long enough, and it won't sound like such a crazy idea eventually.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's true. That's true. It makes sense.
It's hard when you're working those jobs, too, that, like, you absolutely hate, whether it be retail, serving, tech support. Yeah. And then you come home at the end of your day, and you just don't even have the energy to do anything creative.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, tech support is probably just as bad as retail, you know? People are calling.
That's honestly very, very similar. It was very similar.
People calling annoyed.
So annoyed.
I mean, for sure. I would have phone calls occasionally. And,
oh my god!
And you were just drained. But because I worked from home, there was no escaping it. So people thought that was going to be the best thing ever, was to work from home. And what I quickly learned was, It turned home into something that was no longer my haven.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it makes sense. Wow. Well, Phil, tell people where they can... So your podcast is still going on?
Yeah, I'm actually releasing the new episode tomorrow. Currently in its third season. You can find Stay Tuned anywhere podcasts are found. And Tuned is spelled T-O-O-N-E-D. And then, but honestly, you can just find me on my website, philmaki.com. And, from there, there's a bunch of links to everything else that I do.
Right. That's Phil, M-A-C-H-I. And, you can find everything, right here on the website. I can see there's the, your books, your audio books, even, how did you create an audio book out of a cartoon? That's interesting.
Yeah, so Orientation is probably the book I recommend everybody start with. If they really want to get to know Retail Sunshine, pick up Orientation. Mm-hmm. So Orientation kind of gets the audience, you know, prepared on what the world of Retail Sunshine is. And at that point in time, after I put the book out there, I started thinking, you know, it just would be really cool to combine my love of radio with some kind of, you know, with my book. So right. I partnered up with this composer. His name is Kevin Schilder. He's an awesome composer who I grew up appreciating. And we worked together to make this audiobook. But when we were making the audiobook, one of the things that I was talking to him about was, let's make a theme, a musical theme underneath the audiobook, that maybe if one day I go and do an animation, I'll already have a theme song. And so we made the audiobook first, and then from there I took the theme song and made the animated cartoon about a year or two after that.
Interesting. Wow. So you've created a lot of stuff, you know, and that's pretty cool. So if you guys go to Phil's website, you'll see a lot of interesting stuff. So your website again is what?
Just philmonkey.com, or if it's easier to remember, you can type in retailsunshine.com.
Right, because that's the one I'm at. Retailsunshine.com. Phil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your time, and you're very inspiring, you know, because people often wonder, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do what I love, but will I make a living off of this? And the thing is, it's not always about that, you know. I think you have creative hunger and this push that you want to share it with other people, you know, and let it out, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I can be any kind of positive example in that way, I think that's even better. So I appreciate you saying that. And if I may add real quickly, first of all, thank you both for having me.
Of course.
And also, I listened to one of your earlier April shows, and I have to agree about the discussion about the hospital blanket, where a sheet is not enough and a heavy blanket. I have to agree.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, everybody check out, if you're a Batman fan, you'll definitely enjoy the documentary, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners also watch the animated series. How many seasons did it run for? How many episodes? Do you know?
They ended up, I want to say, right around 90 episodes. The initial run was 65, and then they put in like two more orders of 20 episodes after that. But then, of course, it spawned a bunch of other shows like Batman Beyond and Justice League and just a bunch of other stuff. So really, that show spawned a whole world of other shows,
right?
Which was great. And the film's going to be out hopefully later this year. It'll be free on YouTube. In the meantime, if you're really itching to see a little bit of my progress, there's a teaser trailer on YouTube, and you can see that available now.
Sounds good. And where can they find it? I see you have a channel on YouTube, so I guess they can find it.
Yeah, you can like that. The first video there right now. If you do a YouTube search for Stay Tuned Presents, mm-hmm. those three words, Stay Tuned Presents, I think that'll bring it up, because the title of the film is going to be Stay Tuned Presents Batman the Animated Series.
Right. All right. Sounds good. Everybody check it out. Phil, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Much continued success to you, and all the best.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, and you guys are a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And everybody check out the podcast as well, and get familiar with Phil's work. Sounds good. So thanks again. Say hi to everybody in Austin, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
We'll have to have you guys come in here to do a remote show sometime.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh. Maybe. I mean, I'm fascinated with Austin because everybody's moving there.
Everyone's moving there. I've never been.
Yeah.
It's honestly like it's turning into a little mini LA away from LA.
Oh, okay. Oh, so cool. Maybe I don't want to move there after all.
I mean, if it's like LA with better prices, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it's probably getting expensive there, too, you know, because.
What better time to invest than
everybody
now?
Everybody moving. Yeah. All right, Phil. Well, thank you again, and all the best to you. We really appreciate it.
All the best to you both as well. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, man. I'm inspired by people like this because, you know, it's hard to make money at this, and yet,
mm-hmm.
You know, you do it.
I mean, I've wasted away so many times at jobs just for money, for sure.
Yeah, right.
The whole time you get resentful about where you're at and what you're not doing. You feel farther away from what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, it's just so many times you're just lifeless at some point, you know, especially like retail and restaurants. It's like you go to work and you're in the same walls every day. It's like the same tea drawer and the same coffee machine, and you're putting in the same drinks, and people are asking the same stupid questions, and like, where was my fish farmed? And I'm like, it's wild caught. And I've literally been asked for the latitude and longitude of where the fisherman caught the fish.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, look, lady.
Yeah, get the
hell. I'm like, I'm in the middle. Like, I would have like 15 tables in the middle of slammed brunch. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I literally don't know. The chef doesn't know. Nobody knows. I'm like, would you like the fish or not?
Right.
You know?
Man.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just halfway through your shift, or even worse, in the beginning of your shift, and it feels like you're like staring down the barrel. You know, you're right. Like, I have so many hours ahead of me.
Right.
So much time ahead
it's
of me.
It's the same day every day, pretty
turn
much.
Turn and burn. It's like Groundhog Day. You get right. home and you're just exhausted. Like, the one place I worked at that was so turn and burn, I would get home and my ears would just be buzzing. And I would just stare at the wall for probably an hour. I would just sit on the edge of my bed, just nothing.
Yeah. No, it's true, though. But, you know, and usually to do something you love, you have to take chances. You have to take risks. Mm-hmm. Just like with any profession where you want to do your own thing, you know.
Yep.
You leave the corporate picture. You don't have the steady paychecks, but it's more rewarding to do what you do, you know. Yeah. Well, cool.
It's all a balance, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, you probably heard about LeBron James criticizing the cop that shot the woman with a knife, right? Did you hear anything about that?
No. Okay.
Well, a cop appeared. Well, he was called 911.
Mm.
He arrives and he asks what's going on. And the moment he does, these women come out of the house, one of them with a knife, trying to kill the other woman. So, and they were black. And the cop had exactly 9 seconds to figure out what the hell's going on. From the moment he got out from the car to the point where she was with the knife almost killing her. So he shot her, you know. And people are saying he saved the other woman's life, you know. That's what he's supposed to do as a policeman. But they made a big deal out of it. And then LeBron James tweeted something where he said, "You're next," you know. So that became like a big deal, and then police officers and stuff got really irritated. So one of them wrote a letter to him, to LeBron James, and he said, "I'm tired of anti-police vitriol," you know. So there's a lot of people upset, and he's explaining why the cop is, because LeBron has, what, like 50 million followers or something, you
know. And the other woman survived?
The one with the knife. Yeah, I guess she was arrested probably.
But the woman she was trying to kill survived.
Oh, yeah. Because she never got to her. But there's a video also, you know.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. So.
When did this happen?
This was like last week or something.
Wow.
In Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. So, you know, he's saying LeBron has got like such influence. And which is true, you know. And my question is, you know, what?
I guess in that particular situation, I mean, again, full disclosure, I don't know the details. I haven't seen the video. I haven't read anything about it. But from what you're telling me, in a situation like this, I mean, what?
Yeah. What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah. What
are
you supposed to do?
Right. And that's it. It's like a field day on cops now, you know. And the policeman says, you know, I mean, the majority of the cops are not like that, you know, and we're not going to take, you know, all this hatred and stuff, you know. So, you know, I mean, there's a reason to be concerned, because he says LeBron could easily turn 50 million people against the cop, you know. Yeah. And
you should listen to Tyler Perry's speech that he gave. He won the Humanitarian Award at the Oscars, and he gave a really beautiful speech, and he was talking about how he's not standing for hate, even against, you know, like black people, white people, any color that you are, not against cops, nothing. Because he's like, you know, hating on any particular group is still hate, you know, whether they've been in the right before or been in the wrong before. It's still hate, and like there needs to be a different solution.
Yeah, and it turns people against each other, you know, and we become even more divided, which is the last thing we need right now.
Yeah.
You know, So I don't know. I mean, I don't see anybody trying to heal the situation, but maybe someday somebody will, you know.
I mean, I feel like we're at a point right now where everyone's just fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
And because everyone's fighting fire with fire, anything that could be constructive, people are already looking at any kind of criticism or any kind of note, personal note, as an immediate like slash, you know? And mm-hmm. so I think people are more sensitive to any conversation that could happen. So because of all of that, people are less likely to listen to each other. And, right. you know, I think you have radical on both sides, and I'm kind of anti-radical in a way, on either side, because I think sometimes when you're, I think radical is necessary in its own ways, because sometimes it helps bring out, bring things to the forefront that people didn't notice or weren't thinking about or weren't speaking up about, or there was no justice about. But at the same time, I think being radical can prevent people from seeing each other's side. And that's kind of where I stand. Like, my point in life is never being on one side or the other. It's always, I'm always seeing where each other is missing each other, you know? And I think that for me is the most important place for me to be, is in a place where I can see both and how both are missing each other. And I think that's where we're at right now, is people are not meeting each other where they're at. People are missing each other's points. People are angry and like expecting, like, I think lefts are expecting rights to just say the wrong thing all the time. So, you know, they turn off a lot of their listening, and so they don't listen. And I think rights do the same thing to the left. And so nobody's listening to each other. Everyone's missing each other's point. And it's just creating more anger.
Right. No, definitely. I mean, that's how we're divided, you know, almost like two countries, you know. Mm-hmm. And
my mom thinks at some point
it is the United States, you know, we should be united. Mm. But there's two different camps here altogether, you know.
Yeah.
I was reading something interesting yesterday that it's possible that the federal government would have less power, and then you'd have red states and blue states, you know.
Exactly.
And they'd be like, you know, two different countries. So who knows? I mean, the last thing I'd want to see is this country split into two. But right now, it's like that anyway, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. And that's sad. And a lot of people are concerned, and I'm concerned. It's definitely not the way it used to be. I know that politicians used to work together. I mean, there were always differences and stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
You know? And the country's been split before over different things. But I think this is definitely the worst I've seen it, you know, or even read about.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Finally, the New York Post yesterday criticized Howard Stern. They had like a whole article.
Oh, what they said.
And I mean, the guy is like that. He's not relevant anymore, you know. Mm. And the thing is, I got to tell you that I've stopped listening. I used to listen to this guy like for 20 years, even more.
Yeah.
And I loved him. I mean, that he was one of the reasons why I wanted to get into radio, is because I felt that it was a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, he actually started this format of talking about his life and things like that, you know, things that are not that important, you know, as opposed to radio before that, where people didn't talk like that, you know.
Yeah.
They had to have a radio voice and, you know.
Here on KYW.
Right.
Yeah.
Even to announce songs, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So they were talking about him, and you know, he has gotten weird. I mean, he's a major germaphobic, right? Germaphobe.
He's a freak in the house.
So he hasn't left his house. He does the show from his house. They do it on Zoom. All the other people are in other places. And he hasn't left his house in a year. And And now he says it's never going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
So people are saying he's like in his bunker. He's not coming out. He's weird, you know.
That's what he wants to do. Let's let him do it.
Yeah, but I mean, people are like devoted to listening to him, you know.
Yeah.
And he cut his schedule down to like 3 days a week. Mm. So they figured that he makes like $120 million a year. That's about $1 million per show. Think about that, Jen.
Sam, we need a raise.
How can people be so fucking rich? I don't know, man. I mean,
can you imagine if that's what we made on this show?
Yeah. I know. Well, we're not Howard Stern, but if he gets that much money, I'm sure. Well, obviously, he's bringing more to the company he works for, to Sirius XM, you know.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't be able to pay him. But people claim he's got a lot less listeners than he used to.
I'm sure. So. I mean, a lot of the stuff he talked about was kind of vulgar, and I feel like that brand is things have evolved around it.
Well, he's not like that anymore. People kind of like miss the old Stern, you know, because he was different and shocking and stuff. But
I think
now
Joe Rogan
become,
took that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now he's, I don't know. I don't listen to him anymore. I canceled my Sirius account. Also, and there's a lot of talk on social media also, you know, about people like tired of this stuff. He's become soft and blah, blah, blah. But whatever, you know.
He's on his own journey. Everyone's on their own journey.
Exactly. With that kind of money, he doesn't have to give a shit about anybody.
Yeah, totally.
Man.
He was on an episode of Riding in Cars, Getting Coffee, or whatever it's called.
Oh, really? With
Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, they had an episode together.
I didn't know that.
You should watch it. It's funny.
So that must have been more than a year ago when
I think so, yeah.
When he still left the house.
He's definitely a little more calm in the way he speaks, but you can tell he's an anxious person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's got a lot of personal issues. I mean, he still goes to a psychiatrist 3 times a week or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he likes to talk.
Yeah, he does.
You know, so
that's one thing
that
he does
sense.
Well. Yeah.
I'd probably see my therapist a couple times a week if I could.
But just imagine how little you'd have to talk about if you stayed home all day, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. All right, Jen. Well, that's it for today.
All right.
Thank you to Phil Mackey for calling in.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, everybody, of course, for listening, and we'll see you all on Friday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.